You are listening to The Bell Post. Welcome to the next episode of our podcast. Today we're going to highlight a new opinion from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals on a bail issue. But before we get into the opinion, I kind of want to give you just a short history of the bail-related cases that have been going on for like the last 3 or 4 years in federal courts in Texas. The federal litigation began with the O'Donnell case, O'Donnell versus Harris County, which was filed in Houston against the magistrate judges or the misdemeanor judges regarding their process for setting bail. At the time the suit was filed, Harris County used a bail schedule. If a defendant was not able to post the scheduled amount, they would be arrested and they would stay in jail until their first hearing before a judge. The plaintiffs filed suit alleging that there were no procedures to protect the poor. In fact, at the time, if a poor person appeared at initial appearance, they were told not to talk. They were not able to ask for a deviation from the bail scheduled amount because they were told that if they spoke, anything they said could be used against them later. As a result, the plaintiffs identified that there were procedures lacking to protect the poor in the process of setting bail. The federal court, Judge Rosenthal, agreed that the procedures in place were defective. One of the issues that were raised in the federal case is whether the county court judges, county criminal judges, were policymakers for the county or whether they were policymakers for the state when they were setting a bail schedule. That was an important issue because if they were state actors, then they were not proper parties for a 1983 claim. Only if they were actors for the county would they be proper parties for such a suit. Judge Rosenthal ruled that they were county actors, and she relied predominantly on the argument for removal of county court judges. The case went up to the Court of Appeals. The issue of whether the county court judges were county actors was affirmed. The injunction was reversed. It went up on appeal a second time, and it was reversed again. And then on a third appeal, the sitting judges
asked for a stay of the trial court's order.
And it was granted, but after that, there was an election. The sitting judges who were parties to the case were replaced with new judges who promised to settle the lawsuit and give the plaintiffs whatever they wanted. The new judges did that. They settled, and they entered into a settlement agreement and a consent decree, which has been in place ever since. The county has paid over $100 million to try to live up to the promises it made in the settlement agreement. The next case that I would highlight is the Daves case, Daves versus Dallas County. And that is a case very similar to O'Donnell. In that case, the plaintiff's attorneys, the plaintiff sued the county court judges and the district court judges, alleging that there was no difference between the two and that the O'Donnell ruling should be applied to both the county court judges and the district court judges. The appellate decision that we're going to talk about comes from Daves, but I want to highlight the other two cases before we go on. And then we have the Booth case from Galveston County. That case still has an issue pending at the Fifth Circuit currently, and that issue is whether the county is required to provide attorney representation at the bail hearing. And then the last case that I would highlight is the Russell versus Harris County case, where the plaintiff's attorneys returned and decided that they wanted to apply the O'Donnell decision to the district court judges as well. And so they came back and sued the district court judges. Originally they sued the sheriff and the county over felony bonds, but didn't sue the judges as parties. But I think they intervened later or subsequently were added as parties. In the meantime, the Daves case goes up on appeal. And there are several opinions that I want to talk to you about, and then the most recent one, which was released on January the 7th, 2022. So when the Daves court was asked to issue a preliminary injunction, it was asked to issue a preliminary injunction just like O'Donnell did, but not only against the misdemeanor judges, but also the felony district court judges too. And the plaintiffs asked that the trial court rule that bail on its face was unconstitutional, not that it just had procedural problems, but that it, on its face, it was substantively unconstitutional as well. In Daves, the trial court ruled that bail was substantively constitutional. It also issued the O'Donnell preliminary injunction, and it applied it to both the misdemeanor judges and the felony judges. As a result, all parties, all sides appealed to the Fifth Circuit. About a year ago, there was a panel decision in the Dave's case, and the panel decision was essentially the court affirmed that bail was substantively constitutional, affirmed the O'Donnell preliminary injunction as to the county court judges, but ruled that the district court judges were state actors and as such were not proper parties in a 1983 case. I think also there was a kind of a little reference in the Dave's opinion that the panel might have come to a different conclusion than O'Donnell did on the county court judges, but it followed the O'Donnell decision. As a result, there was a motion to have the decision reheard but heard by the entire Fifth Circuit called en banc, and that motion was granted. And the decision that we received on January 7th was the en banc decision, and it is a significant, very important opinion. In fact, I think the opinion reverses the course of these cases and pretty much shuts the door on further litigation in the Fifth Circuit on these bail-related issues. And so where the ACLU is sending letters to counties saying, you're going to change the way that you do bail, you're going to change and do what we want you to do, or we're going to sue you in federal court, I think this decision closes the door on those threats and makes it almost impossible under the current climate, under the current cases that have been filed, for that to go forward. So what did the Daves versus Dallas County en banc decision do? Well, there's three important issues the court addressed. And the first one was the same issue as the other courts have been grappling with, and that is whether the judges are state actors for purposes of a 1983 claim, and whether there's a distinction between the county court judges and the district court judges. In the opinion, the Court of Appeals agreed with the panel that district court judges were not county actors, but they were state actors, and therefore they were not subject to a 1983 claim. On the analysis of the county court at law judges, the Fifth Circuit essentially held that in the O'Donnell case, Judge Rosenthal looked at the removal procedures for county court judges, and she based her decision on whether they were county actors in part based upon that analysis. And the Fifth Circuit said en banc that that analysis didn't go far enough. The Fifth Circuit highlighted several factors that are normally considered in making a determination of whether someone was a state actor. And those were the factors that Judge Rosenthal considered. However, the Fifth Circuit said that in contrast, there was a different analysis to determine whether somebody was a state actor or acting on behalf of the state for purposes of Section 1983 litigation. The court stated that for purposes of a Section 1983 claim, it is state law that determines whether an official is acting on behalf of a county or behalf of the state. And I think that's kind of an important issue, because if you go back to the original O'Donnell opinion, where Judge Rosenthal got herself in trouble with the Fifth Circuit, was on a similar issue where she was not considering state law. And I think the basis of for reversal by the Fifth Circuit and in the first appeal was that she didn't go far enough in applying a state law to her determination. So once again, Judge Rosenthal was found by the Fifth Circuit to look to state law to make a determination of whether someone is an actor for purposes of a 1983 claim on whether they're acting on behalf of the state or the county. In looking to state law, the Fifth Circuit quoted several statutes that have held that the county criminal court, such as the Dallas County Criminal Courts, has the criminal jurisdiction, original appellate, provided by the Constitution and laws for county courts. The opinion also cited Article 4.03 of the Texas Code of Criminal Procedure for support for its argument. The court concluded that it was the judicial power of the state that was being used. The Texas Constitution provides that judges exercise state judicial power generally, that pursuant to the Texas Constitution, bail is a right granted by the Constitution, and that the process for setting bail or determining bail is controlled by state statutes. Therefore, the Fifth Circuit reversed the district court's holding that the 11 defendant county judges were acting for Dallas County when they were addressing issues of bail or when they were setting a bail schedule. And they held that they were state actors. And the court specifically said that it was overruling the O'Donnell opinions on this issue. And so this is a major change in the law on whether district court judges and county court judges are state actors or county actors for purposes of 1983 litigation. This should have a profound impact on this litigation going forward. The Fifth Circuit also agreed with essentially the analysis of the district court of the panel decision that the district court judges were state actors and they were not subject to suit under 1983. The court left open an analysis of whether the magistrate judges and the Dallas County Sheriff were subject to a preliminary injunction or were proper parties under 1983. The reason for this was that the magistrate judges were not subject to or the preliminary injunction did not apply to the magistrate judges. And as a result, they were not parties to the appeal. And on the issue of the district, the Dallas County Sheriff, the Fifth Circuit said we're leaving that issue for later. Next, the Fifth Circuit addressed standing and held that the issue of standing as to the district court judges, the county court judges, and the county itself were essentially determined, and that plaintiffs lack standing to sue any of those parties in the litigation. The Fifth Circuit did not address whether there was standing by the plaintiffs against the magistrate judges or the sheriff. The court specifically stated that there was no need to resolve the issue of standing to sue the sheriff at this point. Then the final issue that the Fifth Circuit wanted to have resolved was the issue of abstention, and specifically the Younger abstention. This is an issue that's been percolating in the system on several cases. It was raised in the O'Donnell case, but Judge Rosenthal ruled that it had been waived. And the Fifth Circuit even noted that the trial court in the Daves case could have concluded that it thought the issue of abstention had been resolved by O'Donnell. The Fifth Circuit ruled that it was not resolved, and specifically that it had not been waived. Because the issue had not been briefed or ruled upon by the trial court, the Fifth Circuit decided that it was a proper issue for remand to the trial court. But the remand in this case was an interesting and very limited remand. The court remanded the case to the trial court to make findings on abstention. The court specifically said that O'Donnell was not precedent on the issue of abstention. And the Fifth Circuit highlighted several cases regarding abstention, which kind of, I would say, presaged an analysis that would be in favor of the counties. The court said that the trial court should not be guided by any precedent, but what it thought the ruling should be, with the exception of the precedent cited in this opinion. The court said, the opinion said that the trial court should be bound by that authority. And then when the case came back to the Fifth Circuit would not be bound by any of the precedent and would make its own determination of what the proper result should be. The Fifth Circuit retained jurisdiction over both the appeal and the cross appeals and remanded for a very limited purpose to have some findings made, and that the case would then go back to the Fifth Circuit en banc for a final determination. I would just highlight that in the other cases that we talked about at the very beginning that were pending in Texas and the federal courts. You know, the Russell case was an attempt by plaintiffs to extend O'Donnell to the district court judges. When the panel decision came out approximately a year ago and said that the district court judges were not proper parties, Judge Rosenthal in the Russell case, she'd already issued an opinion saying that the district court judges were proper parties, and that was in the process of going up on appeal when the Daves panel decision came out. Therefore, she took back the appeal and dismissed the district court judges. And then we have the Booth case, which is still pending, and we're waiting for a decision from the Fifth Circuit on whether counties are required to provide attorney representation at bail hearings. If you're in the bail world, the decision that was issued just January the 7th, just yesterday, is a huge decision. This is big. This is a decision that, I mean, I would say the Fifth Circuit is saying we're getting out of federal bail litigation. We want the states to decide what the proper decision is for bail for themselves, and we don't want to regulate it. And it's very interesting because you want to say two things. One, how many times can Judge Rosenthal be reversed by the Fifth Circuit? I mean, she was reversed in the first appeal of her preliminary injunction. She was reversed in the second appeal of her amended preliminary injunction. And then when she amended again, the existing judges went up and asked for an injunction against what she had done, and the Fifth Circuit granted that. Now the Fifth Circuit is saying that her analysis on whether county judges are county policymakers and not state actors was incorrect. And at the end of the decision, they're saying that her analysis on the Younger abstention is not binding on the trial court, and it's not authority that the trial court should rely upon. And so I would say, once again, they have reversed Judge Rosenthal on that issue. And then look at Harris County. I mean, Harris County was given a roadmap by the Fifth Circuit in the O'Donnell decision what to do to fix their system. All they had to do was set up policies or procedures to protect the poor when the bail hearing was set, so they would have the ability to say, hey, I need a lower bond than the scheduled amount, and they would have satisfied the constitutional requirements, and they could have gone on. But Harris County didn't want to do that. They entered into a settlement agreement with the plaintiff's attorneys where they scrapped the whole system of bail in Harris County for misdemeanors, and they replaced it with a simple release system where you, as long as you're charged with any crime except for maybe six or seven on a specific list, you're released on $100 PR bond and you never see a judge. There's no gatekeeper. Nobody is there to look at your criminal history. And Harris County has spent over $100 million to implement the system, which was completely based upon Judge Rosenthal's ruling that the county court judges were county policymakers who were able to be sued under a 1983 claim. The whole basis for Judge Rosenthal's opinion has now been overturned. It's been overruled. So what does the county do now? The county can't go back and ask for a refund on its $100 million it spent. So whose feet do we lay this debacle at? And I would argue that we lay it at the feet of a specific county commissioner in Harris County, because there is one specific county commissioner who has publicly said that he sought out these plaintiff's attorneys and invited them to Harris County to sue the county over its bail operations. And so the debacle, the rising crime, the chaos that has been created in our misdemeanor courts, I think that all should be laid at his feet. This decision, I think, restores reason. It takes the courts out of Texas bail. It also takes away the threat from the ACLU, from any letters that it's sending statewide to people saying, hey, you will change the way you do it. You'll change it to the way we want you to do it, or we're going to sue you. I think that threat is gone. This is a great opinion. It's great for the criminal justice system of Texas. I encourage you to visit the blog for the PBT for PBT.com, and you can find a link on our blog post to download your own copy of this opinion.
Thank you for listening, and come back for the next episode of The Bell Post.